Tom Zeller joins us now, senior reporter on the energy and environment for the Huffington Post, joining us from New York. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, how are you doing, John?
So we're starting to see it almost immediately. I'm doing great, Tom. Almost immediately, there were questions about how U.S. nuclear plants were being regulated in the aftermath of the earthquake and tsunami, which caused so many problems at the Fukushima Daiichi plant. And, of course, as things unfolded, we heard that regulatory steps were not taken in Japan, that certain things that might have been done, criticism that might have been more public, was suppressed, kept under wraps. Now we're starting to hear some of the same sorts of narratives focused on U.S. nuclear facilities, which brings us to Alabama's Browns Ferry plant. First of all, how does that relate to the caution that we might reasonably expect to need and want after Fukushima, and what specifically is going on down there in Alabama?
Well, I think some of the details are still kind of unfolding down there in Alabama, but I think it is an example of the kind of thing that critics have long pointed to in terms of the level of oversight that the NRC offers of nuclear power plants in the U.S. It appears that a valve that controls residual heat removal at the power plant for emergency cooling systems there got stuck, and it was stuck for what appears to have been over a year, and the plant owners were not aware of it. And when they went ahead and tested it, they discovered that it wouldn't have worked had they had an emergency. Now, they caught it in time, and we didn't have any problem. But that's kind of emblematic of a lot of issues that face a lot of these aging power plants that we have in this country, which are now getting on to be about 40 years of operation. A lot of them are up for relicensing now. And that is that we have a lot of these kind of what we call near-miss moments where power plant operators or the NRC discover an issue that, you know, had the circumstances been just so, or had the planets aligned in just the right way, as they did in Japan, we would have had certainly could have been
sure.
A catastrophe.
Well, we're talking with Tom Zeller, senior reporter on energy and the environment for the Huffington Post. You know, it seems that on some level there's a psychological, flaw to the way nuclear power plants are both built and regulated here. And I wonder if you could comment on that. There's so much redundancy built in, so many backup systems. And I believe this failed valve was part of a backup cooling system, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is true that if they had had an emergency and this valve had not worked, they would have still had a backup system. But it's not the kind of thing that you want to rely on these backup systems. And I think the NRC certainly wanted to make an example of this plant by giving them this rare red finding and saying this is not the kind of you don't want to rely on these redundancies. You want to have all of your systems in robust shape.
But is that what we're seeing, Tom, that maybe nuclear plant operators are using the redundancy to enforce a kind of complacency? Oh, well, that was just the stuck valve in the backup system. We tested it. Everything is fine in the world. And in fact, at Fukushima, where they went to all of their backups and even the power went out and they couldn't cool those reactors, it led to the Chernobyl kind of event that we're seeing.
Yeah, I don't think that anyone is doing it consciously. I mean, I don't think anyone on either side of the table, whether it's the NRC or the industry, and this I hear from critics and supporters of the industry alike, is no one wants to have a nuclear accident. So no one is consciously saying, oh well, we have enough redundancy in place. You know, let's just we can kind of take it easy. But there is, as you say, I think a certain kind of psychological drift that tends to happen, especially as the gap between between an incident like, say, Three Mile Island, which so far is probably the worst accident that we've had in the U.S., as the temporal gap gets larger and the distance between these kinds of incidents gets larger, there is a kind of complacency and a belief that, you know, the systems are robust enough and that we are safe enough, and you start to kind of rest easy on that record of safety.
But I actually like your words better. I said complacency. You said psychological drift. I think drift over time is precisely what's going on here. And so you mentioned a moment ago that the NRC is possibly trying to make an example of this Alabama Browns Ferry stuck valve problem. Are they credible doing that, since they've not turned down a renewal application since the first one was granted in 2000?
Well, it's hard to, I mean, it depends on where you sit. I mean, certainly, you know, the NRC would argue that they are they make their decisions based on a variety of considerations, and that, you know, we certainly don't have all the information on this particular case. So, but it is true that the NRC does, from a critic's point of view, and there are lots of folks out there who will wonder about why this particular incident warrants a red finding, which is the most severe that the NRC can deliver. And another case, you know, for instance, like the Byron case that I wrote about on Sunday, only warranted two relatively light white findings. So there is a certain kind of there does appear to be some question about why one case warrants a certain finding and one doesn't.
Well, let's take it directly to the headline that was under your byline, Nuclear Agency Criticized as Being Too Close to Its Industry. We certainly saw that in the regulations of the forestry and the mining industry under the Bush administration. Is that a fair criticism? It's exactly what they're saying over in Japan about TEPCO.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, and if you step back, it's kind of hard to find a regulatory agency where it's not true in some ways. I mean, when you oversee any kind of, you know, whether it's the banking industry or, you know, the mining industry, as we had with the MMS and after the BP disaster, we found that was really quite a mess, and the Obama administration ended up doing away with it.
Kind of a Stockholm syndrome for regulators, described there by Tom Zeller, senior reporter on energy and environment for the Huffington Post. Thanks, Tom.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.